here on the authority of the Word of God to promise you that God's love can rewrite your story.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. With chaos torching so many families today, Pastor Brian Grant's message tonight offers hope through the example of a well-known story from the reign of King Solomon, showing how a mother's love can prevail even in the worst of times. We invite you to listen now as Pastor Grant offers three biblical principles taken from that story that can leave a godly legacy in its wake even when the history is bad. Here is Pastor Grant with the first part of How to Develop a Godly Legacy.
A little girl asked her mother, "Mom, how did the human race start?" Her mom responded, "It started by God making Adam and Eve, who then had children, who in turn had children." The little girl wasn't totally satisfied with her mother's answer. And so 2 days later, she asked her father the same question. And her dad said, "It all started with monkeys, who over time evolved into the human race." The confused girl returned to her mom and she said, "Mom, I'm a bit confused because you told me that the human race started because God made Adam and Eve, while Dad said the human race started because of monkeys that evolved." Mom said, "It's really very simple. I told you about my side of the family and he told you about his." I am so glad you wonderful moms did not evolve from monkeys. For no monkey could do a mother's job. Amen? Am I right about that? No monkey can do a mother's job. No monkey has the compassion. No matter how much evolution takes place, that monkey will never have the tenderness and the compassion and the understanding of a mother. And so this morning, we're here to celebrate mothers and to wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. Amen? I want this morning to speak on this theme, how to develop a godly legacy. If I were to ask you, how many of you would wish to develop a godly legacy? I have a feeling a lot of you would say yes. So let's talk about this using this most unusual text. How to develop a godly legacy. Here's the first thing I want you to add to your notes. We must allow God's love to rewrite our story. If we're going to develop a godly legacy, we must first allow God's love to rewrite our story. I want to begin in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 4, which was not read, but I want to take us there. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. King Solomon had just been anointed king. And the Bible says that King Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar at Gibeon. And it says that Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said to Solomon, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, that's a big question that God asked. That's probably a phrase for another message. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, to your servant, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Listen to what God said. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you ever arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk, I think I can stop right there. When we read this passage in verses 10 to 12, it makes it very clear that God bestowed great favor on King Solomon and made him the wisest man that would ever live on earth and the wealthiest king that would ever rule Israel. It's very interesting, however, what Solomon asked for. Solomon asked for wisdom. And here in verse 16, that was already read, verses 16 to 22, we find this very unusual case brought before Solomon. Isn't it amazing that God chose, this is now the wisest man that would ever live? And what is the case brought before him? To solve a dispute between two prostitutes. Two women that were from the lowest strata of society. The wisest man, the very first case he's asked to decide is a case about two women from the lowest strata of society. Isn't that an interesting development? Sometimes when we look at this passage, sometimes if we're not careful, we only focus on the wisdom of Solomon. But I believe that one of the most important lessons we can learn from this text is the height and depth of God's love. Just think of this. God has made him the wisest man, and yet he brings before him a story of two of the individuals from the lowest social class in Israel. And this is the case. This wealthy and wise king is to decide. God is making a point. And God is making a point that it doesn't matter where you started in life. It doesn't matter how messed up your life might be. God loves you. Amen. Here's something I want you to know. We must allow God's love to rewrite our story. Perhaps you're listening this morning and you recognize your story. If this was the end of your story, it would be a very sad story. The story of your life would be a sad one if this was the end, because right now your life is a mess. But by the grace of God, today God has brought you into His house because it is His desire to let His love rewrite your story. So write this in your notes if you're taking notes. We can still leave a godly legacy despite a sinful past. Aren't you glad about that? We're speaking, what is our message? How to develop a godly legacy. And the good news, we can still leave a godly legacy despite a sinful past. I want to speak to that lady or that man whose life is so messed up and you wonder, is there any hope for you? I want you to know this morning, God wants you to know His love can rewrite your story. Because you can leave a godly legacy despite your past. But some decisions are going to have to be made. You can ask, if you don't believe this, ask Rahab the harlot. Who remembers the story of Rahab the harlot? Rahab was a lady who ran what we would call a whorehouse. She ran a house of prostitution. But God touched her life. And anybody remembers what ended up? What type of legacy did Rahab leave? Well, when you read the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, you find Rahab the harlot right dead center in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that Rahab the harlot, Jesus becomes a descendant of Rahab the harlot because he had turned her life around. And God can turn your life around this morning. It doesn't matter how far you have strayed. One Sunday morning after my sermon, a lady came forward to find out if God's offer of salvation applied to her. You know, she went on to tell me she was a street prostitute and she was working right off of Broad Street. And she wondered if this message really applied for her. Was this Jesus really for her too? Or was it only for certain type of people who didn't stray too far away from God? And I assured her that Jesus, the Jesus that we're talking about, is a friend of sinners. Amen. He's a friend of sinners. You remember when he was here, all sorts of folks would hang out with him, and the big shots were wondering, why is Jesus hanging out with the lowlife? Do you know there are churches that they don't want to hang out with the lowlife? As if we are not all the scum of the earth. One man may have done one type of sin. I have done another type. You have done another type. Because what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I told her God was willing to save her if she was willing to repent and turn wholeheartedly, give her life to Jesus. And that's exactly what she did. This lady was totally transformed. She stopped selling sex and got a J-O-B. Don't tell me you're really changed until you get a J-O-B. Because we're still trying to find all sorts of underhanded ways of making money. But God's way of making money, if you're healthy, get a J-O-B. This lady got a regular job like everybody else. Every Sunday she was here in church. Listen, her girls, because of their mother's transformation, her girls changed. They became the first generation in that family to ever graduate from high school. Cool and from college, a transformation took place in that life. I remember visiting her in the hospital over and over again. Just because God saves you doesn't mean all your problems are over. Some of the mess you did with your body, you will pay for unless God chooses to release you. Listen, she suffered. We'd visit her over and over again. I was there when she got married. I was there at her funeral as I had the privilege of sharing the gospel at her funeral. Her body had been so badly beaten up, it ran out of energy after a while. God didn't change her body. But he changed her life. Do you want God? Oh, so you say, I'm not that bad. Every one of us, we're all born sinners. All born deserving the judgment of God. And the question this morning is, have you repented? Have you turned? Say, oh God, I'm turning from sin. And I'm turning to you. God, I want to walk with you. I want to go your way. Would you forgive me? Would you change me? And I'm here on the authority of the Word of God to promise you that God's love can rewrite your story. Do you want it? Satan is trying to tell you, keep on doing what you're doing. Listen, there is a word that seems right unto a person. But the end thereof are the ways of death. I encourage you this morning, choose Jesus and choose life. Amen. Listen, here's the second thing I want you to add to your notes. When we totally commit our life to Jesus, He will fill our life with purpose and will not allow our past to destroy His plan for our life. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you." I'm not sure if I have that on you up there. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Isn't that an incredible promise? God says, "I have plans for you." Some of us don't even have plans for ourselves, but the Almighty God has plans for your life. He has plans for my life. And God says He has a plan to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. And it is my prayer that today you will respond to the message of God and that you'll come to receive Him as Savior. First, we must allow God's love to rewrite our story. But here's the second thing. We must allow God's grace to restore our hope. We must allow God's grace to restore our hope. I'm still in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm reading from verses 16 to 20. "Now two women who were harlots came to the king, stood before him, and one woman said, 'Oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth, this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while I was sleeping, laid him in my bosom, laid her dead child," the other way around, okay, "and laid her dead child in my bosom, took my child, living child. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him more carefully in the morning, it wasn't my son at all.' Then the other woman said, 'No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son.'" Can you imagine? Because of mom's negligence, she had rolled over on her son and squashed him to death. Can you imagine the anguish the second mother was experiencing? Because the joy that she was experiencing when the baby was born was now shaky, because she didn't know how the king was going to decide. The king could decide in the other lady's favor. What should have been a happy day was turning out to be a sad day, a day of great worry. You know, Mother's Day is supposed to be a happy day. But if the truth be known, that's not always the case. Am I right about that? For sometimes when children grow up, they make no time for their mother, and they make no time for God. Perhaps you're here and you're like that this morning. God has a word for you. You know, for some mothers, the idea of developing a godly legacy seems like the impossible dream. So some of you, when I announce that as the title, you may say, "That ain't happening in my family. My kids have wandered far away. I don't even see them anymore." But my mom, please don't lose hope. For there's always hope in Jesus. Am I right about that? Mama, there is always hope in Jesus. Don't give up yet. If that lady who came here that day and got saved, that lady who was on the streets, I don't know if her mom was a believer, but if she was, she probably felt like some of you right now. that there is no hope of my daughter living a godly life. But little did she know, my friend, young lady, older person, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting Jesus. When Samson was born, his parents were thrilled, for his mom was barren and, humanly speaking, could no longer have children. But despite her barrenness, God miraculously allowed her to have a baby who they thought to raise for God. Some of you remember the story. God gave Samson, what was it? You can talk to the preacher. God gave Samson superhuman strength. And God did it so that Samson could deliver Israel from their enemies. But instead of living for God, Samson chose to live for pleasure. He was cavorting with their enemies, listen, with Delilah and with all sorts of ungodly women. You can imagine a man, listen, you can imagine this was the strongest man that ever lived. All these guys on TV who they say they're so strong. Nobody was like Samson. You can imagine the attraction he got when he comes in. Samson was all that. Samson broke his parents' heart. For although God had a very special plan for his life, pleasure had captivated him. Samson had become estranged from his parents, and he was estranged from God. God, who had given him strength, he had sort of put God on the back shelf, like some young men here are doing right now. You put God on the back shelf. Are you like Samson? Are you so captivated by living for pleasure that it has damaged your relationship with God and with your parents? My friend, if that's you, it's time for a change. Thank God, Samson eventually changed. You may not realize that. But in Judges chapter 16, verse 30, it tells us that while Samson was dying, he destroyed more of the enemies of Israel when he was dying than he had destroyed during his entire life. Thousands. You read the story. Judges chapter 16. I won't give you that. But you read it. Unbelievable. More people died the last day of his life. His enemies that God had set him to get rid of. More of them died on the last day of his life than had died during the entire time, because all he was interested in is living for pleasure. Oh, I tell you, mom, don't give up, because you don't know what might happen. There's a parent whose child has, your child is estranged from God. Hold on, because look where Samson ends up. You want to see where Samson ends up? Turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. We don't have a lot of time, so just hurriedly get to Hebrews chapter 11 and Mark verse 32 in your Bible. Because here we know we have what some call the heroes of the faith. And here in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32, let me read from verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith they hit harlot Rahab. Did we just talk about her? By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies. And one more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and who? And Samson.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me
to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.